builders and architects and a lot of people in the industry have negotiating power. One of the reasons that they have negotiating power is they've got the promise of more work, right? They've also done a whole lot of work to predetermine stock quantities, requirements, and purchase pricing, and they're buying high volumes. So that's how they're able to buy and negotiate good rates to be able to build cheaper and save their profits. So how can you do this, and how can you leverage your negotiating power? We're going to chat about that in this podcast. So join us in 2 seconds.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders.
Our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
So as builders and as architects and interior designers as well, we've got leverage with suppliers and we've got leverage with trades. And I guess when you're engaging a builder, part of what you're paying them for is the trades that they've already negotiated rates with and they've already got this great relationship with.
They've done the work, they've pre-procured, so to speak, a level of service. Part of why we thought this was a great topic was it's a little bit complicated, and the different subsets of the industry kind of work in different ways. So you've got the builder who's able to negotiate in terms of supply and labor because of volume and quantity. Then you've got the architects and the professionals who are able to negotiate and leverage based on ongoing work or more work coming your way. And whether they're sending work to builders to price or whether they're sending work to other professionals like engineers to price, there's that connection there. Then you kind of jump into this next realm of people, I think, which is basically project managers and developers. And they also have the promise of future work and ongoing work. So there are kind of two aspects I thought to it. One is this ongoing work and the ability to be able to be more attractive as a buyer because you have ongoing work. And then the idea that because you have volume, you can negotiate better prices. So let's kind of jump into both.
Yeah, I think that's good. And I would like to add just a third little subset to this.
Oh, dude.
It's really that a builder has pre-negotiated these rates with these trades, and they won't always send out every, depending on which builder you go to, they won't always send out every package to everyone to price all the time, and they won't maybe be as sensitive to the price differences as you might be as someone who's paying for it from your hard-earned dollars. So you may be able to better that price with the builder, and you may be able to work that through a blended builder model, or you may not, or you might need that leveraging power. So there's a whole heap of things going together. So people come to us and they will go, oh, but I'm going to own a builder, and then I'm going to say the builder's margin of 20 or 30%, right? Well, maybe. Do you have leverage power? Do you have trades? You're paying the builder for a service as well, right? So there's margin, but they're also completing a job that you need to pay them for their time to complete. And are you going to do it to the level where you don't have to redo any work? And will you be able to save money like that? So it's kind of complicated. And as we all know, we don't subscribe to one size fits all. So it is actually on your situation and what's best for you.
A builder also knows where to source things from. And then they're able to put their knowledge and their experience to be able to source the better project to do the job that you want it to do. So that's what they bring to the table. That's why they're specialized in what they do. And I think that part of this idea is how do you kind of leverage your own negotiating power? Where can it come from? And we grappled with this idea actually when we started Builder Collective, because it was kind of part of what we wanted Builder Collective to be about. We were both coming from a place where we understood that we had that negotiating power.
And we had different negotiating powers, right?
Yeah. I suppose in my personal experience, I knew how far I could push a builder on a project because I knew how much work I'd be delivering, if that made sense. So that allowed me to play with that relationship where I needed to and if I needed to. It kind of goes both ways. And this is about being good to people. And if you're good to people, they'll be good back to you. Part of having a good relationship and having ongoing work means that you can also get good prices, but people will price for you. So when you're a little bit ad hoc in asking people to kind of price and tender and do things for you, you might not always get what you want back because you're kind of, and this sounds horrible, but you're nobody to them initially.
You're lower on the food chain.
Yeah. So having this community where you have contacts to share and you come from a place where you're already elevated in that area. For example, if you're a builder or a developer and you've been given a contact by another builder or developer, you're already kind of tackled the hard work, I suppose.
Yeah, you've got the promise of ongoing work and that community referral. I know there's a kitchen company that we're speaking to at the moment, and they've done two jobs or three jobs for builders in the past. And then we're speaking to them about our job. And I guess part of what we bring to the table is if we do a job with you, we can then refer you to all our other developers because we're speaking really highly. And recommendations go a long way. We do that kind of promise of ongoing work, and we do leverage the builder name and being part of being a builder because we know it works for suppliers in the fact that we've got people that have tapped into the builder network and they are busy just doing builder work.
It's crazy,
isn't it? But it's super exciting as well.
You know, like it starts with one job, you do a job here, and then it's another three jobs that you're pricing. And because you know that this person comes from the community, you will price for them because you know what to expect from them. You know that you can expect a level of knowledge. You know that you can expect a level of understanding, but you can also expect if you do a good job and you both treat each other well, that there'll be a referral or recommendation that may come out of that.
And so then there's that kind of flip side, isn't it? If something goes wrong, there's also people that have done like maybe a couple of jobs really well, or they haven't done something well for someone else, and then they'll ask you. And because people share honest opinion, now we don't badmouth anyone, but we are more than happy for people to have conversations. You know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day where they asked me about one of the trades that I'd used. And I am always very measured and very open and honest about the pros and the cons about using everyone that we use. And I guess that goes a long way with that kind of leverage that you're talking about. In Krabashni's case, maybe you're using a builder and you don't agree with one of the variations. Now, they know they're going to get ongoing work from you and be on the next tender. So they might go, well, okay, it was fair that she said this and I'll just accept it and I'm not going to kind of get into this butthead, big bully kind of, do you know what I mean, relationship. There's a way of working together.
Exactly right. It's all about relationship. And that's one of the biggest things we talk to our builders about. Building is all about building relationships with everyone that you meet along the path. And that extends to also suppliers of materials or furniture. And it can be little things. It's getting something on site when you need it. Sometimes it can be really hard to get someone to push you up to the front of the line if you need something on site. If you don't, they don't know who you are. You don't know who they are. They don't know anything about you. So having that ability to say, look, I'm a builder and I'm part of this community, or I'm a developer and I'm doing more projects, or you've had that relationship, means that you can sometimes get the extra help you need at times where it's really important. And so it's about picking your moments as well. You know, if you're always that person who's ringing the supplier saying, oh, I need this on site and I need it tomorrow and it's really urgent, and then that becomes a pattern, well, you're going to lose your gratis with them pretty quickly.
And then that flies with some people and that doesn't fly with other people. Actually, the irony is I was having a conversation with Lisa this morning. Lisa's our graphic designer. And she told me to wait in line because she had other things to do. And I said to her that one of my key skills is queue jumping. So I would like to be on the front of this line, please, Lisa.
That reminds me of a story that's just like totally off topic. But once Keen and I were flying to New Zealand and we accidentally went to the wrong terminal. We were sitting in the domestic terminal. We should have been in the international one. We were just like there early because we got to the airport with international time frames. So we were just sitting at the gate. I was like chatting on the phone to my mom, having a great old time. Keen was buying food. And then we realized like no one was coming to the gate. Like where was the plane and like why was no one around? And then we realized where we were. So we hightailed it to the international side of the airport. And we literally just went up to everyone. We're like, our plane is leaving in like 15 minutes. Can you let us jump, like go through the queue, and everyone let us go through. We literally made it from the domestic Virgin terminal to the Air New Zealand International gate, different sides of the airport, within 15 minutes because we jumped every single queue. It was amazing. And Keno and I said at the end, well, we're just going to do this every time.
No, you're not, though. You wouldn't do that. But I guess what I think is really interesting about that is you gave them a reason to help them, and that actually makes people feel good about themselves when they help you. So here's a top tip for the day. Give someone a reason to feel good about themselves and help you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're really doing them a favor.
And like, don't be afraid to ask for help sometimes.
Yeah.
I think for me, that's always been my approach, like to ask for help rather than to demand something.
Because people do naturally want to help you. So I guess back to negotiating power, one of the things you buy when you buy a builder or you get a builder or a contractor on side, the bigger the builder is, the better negotiating power they have in theory.
Yep.
And so you get to leverage that. When you're using a really small builder or a contractor that might be a one-man band or a single guy, or they might have just started up, and you get a discounted price for using them generally because they don't have that systems and that overhead and that costing process. But what you don't get through using them is maybe the negotiation power of the fact that they've already set up all these things before. You know, they're able to leverage. So maybe you will need to help them do that. Actually, there's one of our builders. She's a superstar. And what she does is she does like a blended builder model. So she'll hire a builder to do a job, but then she'll ask for a more open book type scenario because she knows that he's going to make a profit. She wants him to make a profit. She wants him to win. And so what will happen is he'll go, okay, well, here's my trades and my concrete is going to cost $50,000. She'll go, well, that's great. I'll go and get some other quotes as well. If I can get someone to do it for $20,000, can we engage this person? Can I get a cost saving through the contract? Right? So she's tying in her knowledge and her sourcing power. Now, she's a master negotiator in terms of suppliers. She is actually creating a list of all her wins from the little black book. And through using the discounts that we've given her, I put up a post the other day and I was like, these are my wins, because I've been shopping up a storm this last week. And I've had a whole pile of cost savings. I've actually saved over $4,000 from the little black book, right? These pre-negotiated discounts that we've set up.
The important thing about those pre-negotiated discounts is that they're not on specific products, so to speak. So it's not like, well, you can only get this range at a discount.
And they're not exclusive with different suppliers, right? So there's lots of different furniture providers. There's lots of different concreters, plant people, everything that you've got. So we're not telling you you've got to go down one path.
That was a big premise of ours, wasn't it? We didn't want to push people down one path only. We want to give them choice.
Yeah, and you know what? Suppliers often ask for exclusivity, and that is not something that we're willing to entertain because it doesn't sit with our value system. Anyway, so she's been keeping a tally of all those cost savings that she's had along the way, and there are trade cost savings, but there's also supplier cost savings. So if you're using someone that might be the lower end, or if you are using a builder, but you can negotiate in a way where you're working together to secure product and supply items as cost effectively as possible, then you can buy as well as you can, then feed that through and get the cost savings. Because I guess that was part of the premise of Builder as well, not to kind of bring it back to that, but we knew that if people signed up to the Builder course, not only would they know the process and be well equipped and have a better understanding, so have less issues, get into their house better, design and build the house that they actually want, but they're going to actually save physical money on the process because they can use the supplier discounts. It's a massive pain in the ass to manage, but we do it for you because we love it.
It falls into that category, I guess. You need to know the processes to be able to manage it. You need the spreadsheets to help you along the way, but you're going to be buying. So you need the buying power, and then you need that ongoing help, right? So it's kind of like, how can we create something that we know, having done it, captures everything in the key areas. But I just want to touch on your previous point. And I think that you're so right when you talk about, when I say younger builders, I mean builders who are just starting the game, so to speak, and they haven't got that leverage, or they haven't started to build up their negotiating power. And so they may not be buying things at the best price because they haven't had the time to be able to investigate where they can source things from. The other thing that I thought would be an interesting point was when you're talking to, say, volume builders, or even builders who have an in-house design team, and they've sort of got these pre-packaged designs that you could buy. One of the elements you need to understand if you're entering into one of those models is that they've pre-negotiated the rates they can buy those materials by pre-specifying them and estimating a large quantity. So they've got the economy of scale behind them. And that's why you might only get a choice of one or two or three things to pick from. So understanding that that saving has actually been on pass to you because of that work that's been done up front. And that's why volume builders specifically can build at that rate. And that's why you can't compare what a volume builder can build in terms of a price that you might be putting out to price, which is different, because there's so many nuances that have gone into preparing that price.
You know what? I was talking to someone this morning, and she's actually one of our developers. She's in Texas. Ooh. She's our first Texan. We were talking about volume builders, and we were saying, I can't build at the same rates. Like, even not paying overheads, I can't build at the same rates that a volume builder can, because they know they're going to sell 150 of that exact house, and it's going to have all of these tiles, which are exactly the same in it, and it's prefabbed with all that truss. And so they have complete supply teams that are busy doing just their work, and they've got a whole heap of leverage for that. So understand that, I guess, you don't get the choice, but you do get the cost saving. And they put a lot of time and effort into making sure that the choices that they provide are as good as they can afford to give you the best price.
Within the price bracket that you're obviously trying to buy something at, I think they've come a long way, actually. Volume builders have come a long way in trying to create unique products and trying to develop their designs in a way that maybe are moving with the times and addressing how our needs and our homes are changing culturally. I think this is actually a whole nother podcast that we could do on this.
You're right. Negotiating power, you get through a builder, you get in a bigger level through a volume builder, but you're confined in what you get. Architects can specify and get good products if they've got a good relationship, and especially if they've got the promise of photographed work and work that they can add to a portfolio, because suppliers of products are always looking for examples that their products can be as good as possible.
And then you have the communities in which you operate in. So if you are part of a community that's building and renovating, use that community. If you're a builder or a developer, if you're building as a builder, if you're building your own home, use the community and the Build Her Little Black Book to leverage those purchases or those buys. And if you're a developer, you do have the ongoing, not promise, because you may not be doing a future project, but you have the ability to do future works. So both builders and developers, there's a lot to take in if you're doing that for yourselves. And be ready to give a referral, but be fair and transparent about that referral. And, you know, we've got that podcast on referrals and recommendations, so listen to that one too.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.